No man can say the Lord Jesus but by the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who is the Holy Ghost, and what does he do for us? He is a person, a divine person, the third of the Blessed Trinity, our sanctifier. We'll sing in the Creed this morning, the Lord and the giver of life. And no one can do any good, not even say the Lord Jesus, without this person. Sooner or later in life, you need somebody, you need a person. It's been 2 years since I have flown internationally, and I'm amazed to see everything so automated now. It seems there's a kiosk or a computer for everything. It asks you questions. It takes your picture and passes you on rather efficiently to the next line. And the lines now do move rather quickly. But finally, at the end, after you collect your luggage, well, a person appears. It seems they can't entirely do without them. A young Texan customs officer, I was flying through Dallas, asks, "What was the purpose of your trip?" That's a traditional question. And so I answered truthfully, "Well, I went to Mexico to give confirmation." Now, they're supposed to chat you up a little bit, I think, to make sure you're not particularly a terrorist. And so he asks me, "Well, what's confirmation? Is that like conversion?" "No," I answered. "Aha, instant apologetics. You never know when you'll be asked about your faith. What would you say if you were put on the spot?" "Well," I said, "it's a sacrament given to older children to give them the Holy Ghost." Well, he took that in. And then he concluded this little catechism question and answer session with another very traditional question. "Do you have anything to declare?" Well, imagine a Catholic today, much less a bishop. I certainly do have a lot to declare. But of course, he meant goods brought back into the country. And so I said no. And then he says, "Welcome back to the United States." And then he stamped something in my passport, matter and form, if you will, concluding our little transaction. You can't do everything virtually, by machine, online, with a screen. It must be personal. So I have to go down there, and they have to come to me to be confirmed. Even as a divine person is needed by us all for anything good. Did you ever come across the story of the paralyzed man? That's one of the Fridays of Lent. St. John, he's waited 38 years for his chance because an angel comes down to the sheep-washing pool by the temple, Bethesda, and stirs up the water, and the first one in gets healed. But someone always gets there before him, and he waits. So our Lord comes up to him, and he says, "Do you want to be healed?" And he says, "Lord, I don't have anybody." But then, because our Lord is our Lord, he just heals him. But otherwise, you need somebody. We can't even say our Lord's holy name without this other person, the Holy Ghost. Who is he? First of all, why do we say ghost? We go over that each year with the children before confirmation. Well, that's the richness of our English language, which alone, I think, of the modern languages, possesses a specific term for the third person of the Blessed Trinity. The other languages use the generic, Sanctus Spiritus, Holy Spirit, the Saint Esprit, et le Spiritus Santo. But a being with no body, who is holy, that would be a Holy Spirit, right? God the Father. The angels, the souls of the just, they're all Holy Spirits. But in English, we can get specific thanks to the German, because English, remember, is part French and the Latin and then part German, the Old English. And so ghost comes from the Old English word Geist, and that in turn, of course, Heiliger Geist, the German today, Holy Ghost. You still have that in English a little bit. We use the word gasp, which means to breathe in suddenly. And that's related to it linguistically, because it's all a question of breath. God the Holy Ghost is the breath of God. So we should use the term and explain it to others, the beauty and the tradition, the preciseness of this title. But the names of the Holy Ghost given in sacred scripture, there are over 300, they say. The giver of life, the spirit of truth, the spirit of Christ or of God, the paraclete, the sanctifier. Do you remember the term, the finger of God? Who is the Holy Ghost? He's the third person of the Blessed Trinity. He's distinct from the Father and Son, truly a person, sharing the same nature, thus there is only one God. He proceeds, or is breathed forth, from the Father and the Son. That's the truth of the doctrine filioque, and from the Son, another phrase in the longer creed, the Nicene, another doctrine of the faith. But to the epistle, what does the Holy Ghost do for us? Everything. We need him. That's why we should know him, and we should love him even as we ask or implore him and invoke him. To do what? First, he gives all men actual grace. Second, he gives some souls sanctifying grace. You know the difference? Third, he gives to some the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, confirmation particularly, and occasionally he gives extraordinary gifts. And then fourth, he sustains and guides the Catholic Church. Well, let's just look at two of the four today. We don't want to talk too long. Actual grace, first of all. He gives it. What is it? Well, generically speaking, what's grace? What does grace mean? Grace means favor, as in a favor that is given to us who don't really deserve it. Classic example, a condemned man due for execution gets his sentence commuted. That's a grace, and that's, of course, our position, all of us. Our Lord dies in our stead. But the French say that someone, a condemned man whose life is spared, they say, il était gracié. He was graced, literally. He was graced, and so it is. So God acts with man in bestowing his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, upon us. All the graces our Lord won for us at Calvary come to us, and first of all, this actual grace, which is a kind of it's like a passing influence for the good. It enlightens the mind and strengthens our will, just as Almighty God did in a great permanent way at Pentecost with the apostles and disciples. So too does God do for everybody in a little passing way all day long. Actual grace, St. Augustine says, is a light which enlightens and moves or inspires sinners. How is actual grace given? when you're talking about the Holy Ghost and actual grace, it's like one of those obscene cable subscriptions that some people pay for. A huge amount of money, I think, cumulative, do the math. And then that means they can't give too much money to the church or something because, you see, you can't live without cable. You have to have all of these channels. Well, the Holy Ghost, he doesn't make you pay for it, but he has all of these channels for his actual grace to come. Sermons, by listening. Sometimes Catholics consider it quite an achievement if they manage to avoid a sermon on Sunday. I'm not so sure about that. Or reading a book, or even an article or a short something good, say, online. Or seeing a crucifix, a statue of a saint, the sacramentals, or just some beautiful or inspiring sight. Touching or smelling candles, the incense, the holy water, or wearing your scapular, the vestments, medals, making a genuflection or the sign of the cross, and bearing your cross, pain and illness and death. Noticing the good example given by others, and taking in advice, direction, or orders, corrections from superiors, from family, your spouse, maybe friends. By these means and by others, the Holy Ghost starts our salvation. St. Cyprian, who started out as a pagan lawyer and great orator in northern Africa, St. Cyprian says, "When the Holy Ghost came into my heart, he changed me into another man. But warning, first of all, these channels, actual grace, he's going to send suffering." Why? We grappled with that earlier this season, didn't we? Why? Because the wax must be softened in order to receive the seal or the impression of Jesus Christ upon it, on our souls. But his help, the Holy Ghost's, is absolutely necessary for us. Nothing is done without it. So, here's a sort of a little litany that I came up with from so many of the saints, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Fulgentius, and others. The Holy Ghost is the light by which we see. He's our lift to reach something that's just beyond our grasp. He is life for soul and body. He's the ink for our pen. He's the lead for our pencil. He's the teacher who guides the child's hand to form the letters of a word. He's the rain and the sun to our soul's soil, so it may bear fruit. And by actual grace, the Holy Ghost acts on everyone, sinners as well as just, Catholics and non-Catholics also, even unbelievers, Jews, Mohammedans. Actual grace. But it is not given equally to all. The members of the mystical body, that would be us, receive the richest share. Sometimes for our benefit, St. Paul says today, there are also given, this is as rare as actual grace is common, certain extraordinary graces. They were called the charismatic gifts. Generally, the saints say that's given only to saints, but they're given for our benefit. So, the gift of tongues, that doesn't mean babbling in a Pentecostal church. That means that one preaches in one language, St. Francis Xavier, say, or John Capistran, and his audience understands him in their own languages. Miracles, prophecy, ecstasies, ability to read hearts in the confessional, by location, healing. Padre Pio, think of in modern times, that's about all of the charismatic gifts summed up. But, as with our little actual graces, these great gifts are preceded by suffering, in this case, great suffering. That's why the saints go through illness and pain and a darkness, a feeling of abandonment, terrible temptations, misunderstandings, persecutions, and sometimes physical, diabolic attack. But you're no saint. What does he have for you, the Holy Ghost, today? The simplest and the shortest word for you, my friend, he inspires, he who is breathed forth from the Father and the Son, he breathes into us an aspiration. Sometimes it's called an ejaculation, which we should breathe out all day long. He inspires those short little prayers. They're sometimes indulgenced. Jesus, Mary, my Jesus, mercy. Jesus, Mary, I love you, save souls. Jesus, Jesus, be to me, Jesus. Or the gospel today. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's a world of sanctification leading to salvation in just breathing that prayer all the time. And this is all of him, the Holy Ghost. And this is really all of our salvation. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.